Welcome to the Climate Report on WFMP-FM Louisville. This is Hart Hagen, your host, and we are on episode number 98. Today's topic is Green New Deal Naysayers. We'll be talking about the Green New Deal Naysayers in just a few minutes, but first, here's what the Climate Report is all about. At the Climate Report, we believe that climate change is real. All rational people know this unless they've been heavily propagandized by a propaganda machine that is always pro-business. Now, it's not pro-small business. I'm pro-small business, but the propaganda machine is always treats the Fortune 500 like they can do nothing wrong. Transnational corporations are just all that. Love them, love them, love them, love them, love them. Or so we might think. Because our media is commercial. Our media is a business. We think we have a free press, but we don't. Our press is relatively free of government interference most of the time, but our press is not free of interference from the businesses that own them and sponsor them. If you're CNN or MSNBC or Fox News, if you're the Washington Post or the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, and you get your sponsorship, you get your revenues from the oil giants and from the big banks, and you get your revenues from the war profiteers, you're only going to be so quick to offend them or to say anything bad about what they do. If you're NBC and you're owned by General Electric, you're going to be real careful about saying anything bad about what they do. If you're ABC and you're owned by Disney, you're going to be real careful and you're not going to say very much bad about what they do. So we do not really have a free press. We have a press that is subservient to power, especially corporate power, and our press is surprisingly subservient to government power. That's why many otherwise rational people have not gotten the full story about climate change. Yes, from time to time, the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal will publish a relatively truthful article about climate change, but it's not with sufficient frequency or emphasis. But climate change is a problem that's real, and we must solve it urgently. The worst effects of climate change are not in the distant future. The point of no return is not in the distant future. Some scientists are saying that it's maybe 2030 is the point of no return. That if we don't have a drastic reduction in our fossil fuel consumption and carbon emissions, then we could be paving the way for out-of-control climate change, and we don't want to go there. And it's not a problem that can be solved by individual change. You know, You could be the best person in the world as far as having a low carbon footprint, but that type of individual change is only going to get us so far. We need systemic change. But the thing is, we have an opportunity to create a whole new world, a better world, a world where we can eat safe food from local organic farms, a world where we can walk or ride a bike without being run over by cars. A world where we can take the train and read, ride, and relax instead of being stuck behind the steering wheel of a car that costs us on average $10,000 per car per year. We didn't sign up for that. The oil companies and the auto companies signed us up for that in the late 40s and the early 50s. The decision was made for us that we were going to be in a society where the primary mode of transportation was the automobile. And oh, don't forget airplanes either. Now, they could have instead expanded mass transit, but there's a problem with mass transit, and that it's not as profitable for the big companies that run the show. So the decision was made for us, and it was not a decision based on free markets. It was not a decision based on democracy. The decision was made for us by big corporations and by big government. So we have an opportunity to create a whole new world, a better world, a world where there's much more democracy, where there's much more local control, where there's much more control, where we can bring the democratic process to bear on things that affect us. We've been taught that government is not supposed to regulate business, which is to say that people are not supposed to have any control over the impact that business has on us. We're not supposed to have any control over financial markets. We're not supposed to have any control over pollution. We're not supposed to have any control over whether our local economy is going to favor small businesses or whether it has to fling open its doors to corporate giants that destroy local economies. Corporate giants want us to believe that corporate America is America, but nothing could be further from the truth. Corporate America has been shoved down our throats. Why? Because that's where the money is, and they're paying our government. They have bought our government. Corporate giants have wrapped themselves in the American flag as if their interests are our interests, but they are not. Corporate giants and corporate power are at war with the people of America and the people of the world. The Climate Report is a course in intellectual self-defense, so we can defend ourselves against the onslaught of propaganda that's been coming at us our entire lives and has completely distorted reality in favor of big corporations. They have convinced us that government is always bad or always clumsy or always power hungry, and they have distracted us from the reality of how clumsy and power hungry the corporations are. They have the power to control the quality of the air we breathe. They have the power to control the water supply. They have the power to control the nature of our food delivery system. They even have the power to keep us locked in to a dirty, polluting fossil fuel system that we can easily free ourselves from if we can first wrest ourselves from the grip of corporate control. And I'm not talking about small local businesses. Small local businesses are good. I'm talking about the corporate giants, the Leviathans, the behemoths, whose power and control over our society is completely illegitimate. And that's what the Climate Report is all about. We must learn to separate the rhetoric from the reality so we can be powerful players in a functioning democracy. This program is part of WFMP's Public Affairs Educational Programming. The views expressed are those of the speaker and not the station. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please email info@theclimatereport.net. So today we're going to talk about the Green New Deal naysayers. So the Green New Deal has gotten, it's been around for 8 or 9 years. The first really good draft of a Green New Deal was from the Green Party. And then the Congressional Democrats came up with their version. Data for Progress has a version, and Democratic Socialists of America have a version. But the person who has made it really famous is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So we're going to talk about what the naysayers are saying about the Green New Deal. We're going to look at AmericanActionForum.org. This study was cited in Investor's Business Daily. And I read the Investor's Business Daily treatment of this subject, and the language was just so strident, haphazard, and disorganized that I decided to not even fool with it. We'll be looking at something that has its share of misconceptions, but at least it's fairly well organized. So the Green New Deal itself is a legislative agenda. It's a set of proposals that are designed to wean us off of fossil fuels while at the same time creating a society that is more just, and equitable. Now, when you talk about social justice and economic justice, that's a little bit, that tends to trigger the powers that be. That tends to trigger the corporate leviathans who do not want their power and their wealth to be challenged. when you talk about social justice, it seems to indicate that there's been some injustice here and that maybe, possibly, the extremely wealthy are responsible for that social injustice. And you're not supposed to talk about that. If you're a flag-waving American, you're supposed to think that America is fair and equitable for anybody that wants to work hard enough. We are taught to believe, by the moneyed interests, that if someone is not doing well in life, it's because of an individual failure. Heaven forbid we should think it is because of a collective failure of a failed system. But many of us do think that it's a failed system. For example, let's say that in any given year, you have an increase in income. The economy demonstrates an increase in income. And let's say that in any given year, 80% of the increase in income is shared by the 1%, and the other 20% of increase in income is shared by the 99%. Now, I don't have those figures in front of me, but I do know that the lower you are on the economic spectrum, the more likely it is that your wages have not increased in real terms for the last 40 years. And I also know that if you're in the upper tippy-top of the income spectrum, that your income has increased dramatically in recent years. So if these figures are anywhere close to correct, if 80% of the increase in income in a year's time goes to the top 1%, and the other 20% goes to the 99%, then that top 1% is experiencing 320 times the increase in income as the bottom 99%. Is it because they're 320 times more clever, 320 times more resourceful? No, it's because we have a system that is rigged. The people at the top have the power to buy laws that favor them at the expense of everybody else. So let's look at a little bit about what the American Action Forum says about the Green New Deal. Now, keep in mind that think tanks are also propaganda machines. But we're not going to dwell on that. We're just going to look at the face value of this and see whether it makes sense. So here's a table that says, here are six things that the Green New Deal proposes. Low carbon electricity grid, net zero emissions transportation system, guaranteed jobs, universal health care, guaranteed green housing, and food security. So let's look at those one at a time. Item number one, low carbon electricity grid. They're saying that the estimated cost is $5.4 trillion or $39,000 per household. So here's the thing. Naysayers are only going to focus on the cost. They're not going to focus on the benefits. What about the jobs that are created by a low-carbon electricity grid? You've got jobs related to solar power installers. You've got wind energy technicians. Plus, you've got all the technologies that will spin off from this and be a net boon to the economy. But they're not going to focus on that. They're only going to focus on the cost. So they're saying that this costs $5.4 trillion. And what's going to happen to that $5.4 trillion, if in fact that is an accurate cost? What's going to happen to it? What, are they going to go bury it somewhere? They're not saying anything about how this is going to create income for people. They're ignoring the jobs that are created, and they're ignoring the technologies that are created, which are in turn going to create more jobs and make the U.S. a leader in these technologies. But we're not going to talk about that because we can only talk about the cost of a proposal that we don't like. Next item, net zero emissions transportation system. Costs $1.3 trillion to $2.7 trillion. Again, they're just focusing on the cost. But the transportation system that we have now has a cost to individual households. On average, a car costs $10,000 per year to own and operate. And that doesn't count the cost of roads. It doesn't count the cost of climate change. When we have too much carbon coming out of our tailpipes, it doesn't count the risk or the cost to consumers of our dirty, polluting system that causes cancer and emphysema and heart disease. But imagine a world with a net zero emissions transportation system. Imagine a world that has mass transit where people of limited means can get around. And that, my friends, is exactly what the very wealthy do not want. They don't want people to be able to go vacation and visit other people and see how other people live. They want the poor and people of limited means to stay put. Plus, if we build a transportation system that includes mass transit, there is so much money that is going to be saved, but they're not talking about that. Okay? Next item, guaranteed jobs cost $6.8 trillion to $44.6 trillion. Okay, so let's say their numbers are correct, which I'm not checking these numbers either way. It's all speculation. But they're only focusing on the cost. What are they going to do? Bury that money? No, they're paying it to people who are going to do productive work. Universal health care. They're saying universal health care is going to cost $36 trillion. Well, that is nonsense. In the United States, we pay twice as much as other countries for health care, and their outcomes are not even as good. If we had universal health care where we could control pharmaceutical costs, then that's going to save money. Listen to me. Universal health care. Not universal health care is the wrong word. Medicare for all is going to save money. It's going to save the government money, and it's going to save people money. Now, it will be paid for through progressive taxation. And anybody who wants our tax system to be progressive is on the right side of things. Anybody who wants our tax system to stay as is or become more regressive, you have to ask, why do they want that? Do they want it so that the wealthy can hoard money? And what's the purpose of that? Do they want it because they think tax cuts are good for the economy? How did they get that idea? See, that's the power of the propaganda machine that we have. A lot of people really believe that tax cuts help the economy, despite all evidence to the contrary. We had the best economy in the New Deal years from 1945 to 1970. We had the best economy when we had the highest tax rates, because high tax rates encourage people to reinvest money. Low tax rates encourage the wealthy and corporations to just take that money and put it in tax havens and avoid taxes altogether. So we should embrace progressive taxation, because for one thing, these things need to be funded. For another thing, progressive taxation is good for the economy. Plus, if you make lots and lots and lots of money, it's not because of your own cleverness and ingenuity and hard work. It's partly because you live in a system that supports what you do, and it's time to give back, not in the form of voluntary contributions, but in the form of taxes. Next item, guaranteed green housing supposedly costs $1.6 trillion to $4.2 trillion. Well, they're only focusing on the cost. They're disregarding the fact that people are going to be paid to do these jobs. They're disregarding the fact that the United States, by doing this work, can become a worldwide leader in the relevant technologies. So if you oppose the Green New Deal, it's because you're heavily invested in the old, dirty deal. Item number six, food security. They have cost $1.5 billion. Estimated cost per household, $10. Can we ignore that? Can we act like that's not even on? $1.5 billion is nothing if that's what it costs to give people food security. So let's read through a couple of paragraphs in this. This is the American Action Forum. It's obviously a conservative think tank, and think tanks are notoriously just propaganda machines. But we'll try to read what they have to say and take it at face value and go from there. Reading from the report, the Green New Deal is a set of sweeping policy proposals that has received widespread attention. As the name suggests, the heart of the Green New Deal is an effort to curb carbon emissions and thus to slow climate change. But the package contains a wide set of other policy proposals that are not directly linked to climate policy, a job guarantee, food and housing security, and a variety of social justice initiatives. And I'm like, yeah, because climate change is brought to you by the same people that brought us nuclear weapons. Climate change is brought to you by the same people who are causing the sixth great extinction, the extinction of biological species that we depend upon to live. And climate change is also brought to us by a completely unsustainable food system, an industrialized agribusiness food system that only serves the profits of the biggest companies. It does not serve small businesses, it does not serve small farmers, and it does not do a good job of serving the consumer either. But it's what we've got because these huge companies have bought our government and they have the power to buy policies that are favorable to them. So we have climate change because climate change is just a symptom of profound social injustice that exists in our system such as it is now. Oops, I used the word social justice, which suggests that maybe there's been some injustice, which suggests that maybe some people have done bad things to other people, and that is exactly what I am saying. I'm not saying they're bad people, but they do things that resemble things that bad people would do if they were bad. So yes, the Green New Deal involves measures for social justice, including jobs guarantee, including health care, food security, housing security. And guess what? It's because we're going to be experiencing democracy again. I shouldn't say again, because we have never seen democracy. The United States has been an experiment in democracy, but since the very beginning, the democracy has been curiously controlled by powerful interests. To some extent, we have a government of the people, by the people, for the people, but to a much greater extent, we have a government of the powerful, by the powerful, for the powerful, that has got to change. And because we have a government by the powerful, for the powerful, then we're controlled by a tiny elite group for whom profit and wealth accumulation are more important than the very survival of our species. Continuing to read from this proposal. Given the attention the Green New Deal has received, it is worth assessing its proposals. Yet its breadth makes it daunting to apply the standard tools of policy analysis. Well, yeah, we are talking about a total transformation. And they're saying, oh, it's so hard to do policy analysis for the Green New Deal. Well, it helps if you're not completely freaking biased. It helps if you're not totally focused on the costs of the program. It helps if you're focused just a little bit on the costs of the program we already have. The policies that we have, the system that we have, costs a ton of money. The war machine alone costs $1 trillion a year, conservatively speaking. Conservative estimates. The fossil fuel industry is the cost of oil is subsidized by the Pentagon because we want to make sure that oil doesn't we want to make sure the price of oil doesn't get too high, and we also want to make sure the price of oil doesn't get too low, so we have to control the oil in the Middle East. So we have to go to war in the Middle East so we can control the oil in the Middle East. That's messed up. And this report doesn't say anything about what we pay to prop up an old, tired, worn out system that is bad for everybody except a privileged few. Continuing to read, he says it's a daunting task to do this policy analysis because the scope of the Green New Deal is so broad. Yes, the scope of the Green New Deal is pretty darn broad. It needs to be. Sometimes I know it sounds like I'm angry, but I'm just kind of, you know, animated. Okay. Nevertheless, our task in this short paper is to begin this undertaking by providing broad analyses of some of the tractable parts of the GND, Green New Deal. In other words, we're going to do what we can on this. We're going to try hard for you. We're going to try real hard to come across with this conservative pro-corporate propaganda. We're going to give you the best conservative pro-corporate propaganda that money can buy. Because we know our corporate sponsors are paying for us to be really biased in favor of the rich guy and really biased against the needs and interests of the vast majority. And when I say rich, I'm not talking about millionaires. I'm talking about billionaires and multi-billion dollar corporations. You've never met anybody that's that rich. I'm not talking about doctors or lawyers or successful local business people. Continuing to read, we find the Green New Deal would be very expensive. Yeah, but you're not talking about the money, you're not talking about the payoffs, and you're not talking about how the current system is very expensive. Here's the key. Its social impact, however, would likely exceed its enormous price tag because of its expansive re-engineering of social norms. Well, yeah, re-engineering of social norms, policy processes, and key institutions. Yes, we do not want to be ruled by an oligarchy. Yes, we want democracy. Yes, we want the people to be in control of this country. Yes, we don't want corporations to be the most powerful institutions in our country or in our world. So tell me, Mr. Author of Report by American Action Forum, why is it a bad thing to re-engineer our social norms? Do we have a system that's working for everybody, or is it working for a tiny, privileged, powerful elite that signs your paycheck? Hey, I know. How about we create a system where we have a right to vote on that which affects us? That's a great idea. Don't you agree? So here's the thing. Got another minute or two to wrap it up. The Green New Deal is absolutely what our planet needs. It's absolutely what our nation needs. But the powers that be, the defenders of business as usual, are going to throw everything they've got at it. Now, if they thought they could make money on it, they surely would be in favor of it. But they can't make very much money on it. So they're just going to, you know, they're going to tell a truckload of lies. They're going to focus on the downside of the policies that they propose. They're not going to say anything about the huge, obscene cost of the system that we have, the financial cost or the human cost. How can you talk about paying people trillions of dollars in a way that creates new jobs and ignore the income that those people are going to earn? And in turn pay taxes on that income. But the truth is just too inconvenient to talk about. That's all for now. Thanks for joining me.